runasradio.com. You're listening to Run As Radio, the weekly internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell and Greg Hughes. This is Carl Franklin introducing show number 29 with guest Doug Toombs, recorded Thursday, October 11th, 2007. Run As Radio is produced each week by Quap Productions, offering professional media and podcasting services online at www.pwop.com.
Hi, this is Richard Campbell, and you're listening to Run As Radio. And with me, as always, my co-host, Greg Hughes.
Hi, everybody.
You're looking forward to the show, aren't you?
Yeah, this is a good one. You know, my buddy Scott and our buddy Scott. And,
yes,
you know,
Scott Hanselman.
My colleague and recent former coworker who recently went to Microsoft. He publishes that tool list every year. I think it's at Hanselman.com/tools.
Right.
But it's a pretty wildly popular list and a great list for developers and has a lot of cool IT stuff on it. But I know that I have a lot of different freeware and paid for open source and otherwise tools in my toolkit that I use. I don't even think about them very much. So I'm kind of excited about this show because we got to talk to Doug Toombs about a few of what he thinks are some of the key tools that he thinks are important in the IT toolbox.
Right. Yeah, I think it's going to be good stuff. And just the idea that, you know, there's tools out there you didn't know about, and many of them are free.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with free.
I can't argue with that. Coming up in a couple of weeks, Dev Connections in Las Vegas. We're going to be there. We're going to be talking to some folks there about various technologies, some Microsoft guys, just like we did at TechEd US.
Right.
And then right afterwards, we're off to Barcelona.
That's right. Jump across the pond.
Yeah, going all the way across. TechEd Europe IT Forum, Speaker Idol, 64-bit question, all that good stuff.
So, yeah, it's hard to believe it's almost here. I'm really looking forward to that and hope to meet some new people and see some people that I've, you know, met before over there in that common location. I think it'll be a lot of fun.
You bet. And if you've got any show ideas or you want to find out where we're going to be or you're going to meet up with us in one of these conferences, send us an email, info@runasradio.com. All right, Greg, let's introduce Doug Toombs. Douglas Toombs is a contributing editor for Windows IT Pro and author of a number of books, including his latest ebook, Keeping Your Business Safe from Attack, Monitoring and Managing Your Network Security, available from Windows IT Pro ebooks at windowsitlibrary.com. You can reach out to Doug via his email address at help@toombs.us. That's TOOMBS.US. Welcome, Doug.
Thanks.
Hi, Doug.
Hi, how are you today?
So I'm a reader of your stuff, and I just love your collection of gadgets. And that's how we started on this, was that, you know, all of us that are in the field that have done this sort of work, jumping into different people's environments, we have our toolbox, and yours, sir, is an especially rich one. So I thought we'd go through a few of them. We only have a half an hour. Okay, see if we could go through a few different tools and see what the possibilities were.
Sure, absolutely. I've found that over the years I've collected a kind of a core set of utilities that I'm always going back to. I always make sure that they're on every laptop or system that I touched, and I keep them up to date. So I'll kind of go through. I've got five or six of them here that I think are really kind of some of the best of the best. We'll start off with a utility called FileZilla.
Right.
I found this one years ago working in the hosting business and FTPing an enormous amount of files around day in, day out as a part of my job. And, you know, wanted to have better, you know, GUI graphical interface for moving stuff around amongst various hosting systems. And, you know, didn't mind paying $10, $20, $30 for a commercial GUI FTP application, but
right.
To me, on some level, it seemed wrong, given that the protocol's been around for decades.
Yeah, and like, it's a free protocol.
It seemed a little silly to be paying for a front end, so I started looking around for just a basic freeware GUI FTP client. And what I found was just, you know, light years above basic. So FileZilla. It's a SourceForge project. They have a direct URL. You can go to filezilla-project.org.
Right.
And it's a GUI FTP client and server. Handles secure FTP, regular FTP, active and passive FTP. It'll even handle SSH. runs on all the modern versions of Windows, 2000 all the way up to Vista. Also runs on Linux and OS X.
And it works on 64-bit.
It does, yeah. I've not had a chance to try that on 64-bit yet. And it just supports just such a wide range of features, and it's just such an easy interface to use. You've just got basic drag and drop within the application. You can drag and drop files from outside of the application on just, you know, the Windows desktop or in another Windows Explorer window and drop them into FTP, and it'll take care of it. You can set up all your connection profiles to various servers, advanced filtering, and it does even some nice things like maintaining the open connection to the FTP server so the connections aren't timed out. If an individual file fails, it will try and start that file over. If it fails too many times, it'll just leave it in the queue. It'll continue to process the rest of the queue, and then you can see why there might have been a problem with one of the file transfers. And believe it or not, they've actually got a server as well, the FileZilla FTP server.
And thank goodness, because I was actually thinking the biggest problem with FTP is that the servers are so lousy.
Right. Well, so if you want to run just a simple, you know, home FTP server to share a few files around or something like that, this is nice because you don't have to go and install all of Microsoft IIS, or depending on the version of Windows you're running, you may not even have that option.
Yeah.
For instance, you know, XP Home doesn't have that. So this gives you an option to say, you know, I just need a simple FTP server. Go ahead and put up, you know, you can put FileZilla FTP server. It's got a number of configuration options as well that make it pretty robust and very simple and lightweight.
Does it support some of the secure options?
Yeah, for the secure file transfers,
yeah.
Yes.
Because my first reaction when you say, well, let's start with an FTP tool, I'm like, oh my goodness, are we still using FTP? Like, haven't we gotten over FTP yet? With all of its problems?
I don't think it's going anywhere.
No, I guess not. And it amuses me that we have both SFTP and FTPS being two different ways of securing FTP.
Right.
Right. One being SSL.
All right, so
and the
FileZilla-project.org.
That's right.
Let's keep moving along then.
Okay. So next one I've been using for years. And this one, out of all the utilities that I've kind of gotten this list here, this one really just blows me away. It's called Wireshark. It was formerly known as, pronounced a couple of different ways, either Ethereal or Ethereal, depending on how you would read it.
Well, if you're a Dungeons & Dragons fan, you read it as Ethereal.
Right.
But I remember using Ethereal literally 10 years ago.
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
It has continued to grow, and the fact that this is just open source, completely free, just knocks my socks off. Speaking of years and years ago, I remember, you know, early 90s paying, you know, $20,000 for a network general sniffer to be able to do the types of things that, you know, this can do for free. So it is the world's most popular network protocol analyzer, open sourced under the new general public license. And a number of contributors around the world that contribute to this application is just mind-boggling. Last I knew, I think it was over 400 people that were contributing around the world to this application, making it better, making sure all the latest protocols are up to date.
I am looking at the list, and it's unbelievable. It goes on and on and on.
Yeah, I think it's over 700 and some, maybe 750 different protocols that it can decode for you. And, you know, the obvious ones like HTTP and POP3 and DNS and FTP and all of those. But then if you look through the list of protocols that they can actually support, you can see just some really obscure off-the-shelf, you know, things. You're like, I've never even heard of that before. But some engineer somewhere that understood that protocol and participated in this project went ahead, contributed the code so that the Wireshark could properly decode the information, and it's all in there. And this is literally the one and only network sniffer that you would need. All these protocols over, whatever type of network media you may be using. So if you're using Ethernet, Token Ring, Fiber, Wi-Fi, it can go watch for the traffic, grab it all, log it. It's if you're actually dealing with, you know, any of the actual network vendors, you can actually, they're all capable of, you know, accepting an Ethereal capture file, so
right.
You can send that to them. As a matter of fact, that kind of found that's the preferred one that everybody uses. So, you know, troubleshooting a problem with your routers or firewalls, you send them these packets. They'll be able to decode that as well, take a look at what's going on.
So this has become the industry standard now of the way you analyze network traffic and share it with other people to understand what's going on.
In my opinion, it has. There still are commercial packages out there.
Sure.
And, they're certainly not cheap. I'm sure if I really took a look at it, there's some things that I could find in the commercial applications that, it may justify the price, but honestly, I've gone a decade without having to, pay money for a network sniffer.
Right.
By using Ethereal, now Wireshark.
60,000 display filters built in.
How many was that again?
60,000.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's insane.
And not useful just for, the simple stuff, but also even for things that you may not recognize or bad stuff that could be on your network. I know certainly I've used it to do just that quite a bit. It's really, the fact that it's free is amazing. It's a truly powerful tool.
And their catchphrase, sniff free or die.
Gotta like that.
That's a good one.
All right, wireshark.org.
Yes. Now, I should mention one thing here, and this actually gives me a good lead-in to my next two utilities. Wireshark requires a promiscuous mode driver to operate. So, obviously, your network card has to go into what's known as promiscuous mode so that it can actually see and pull in all the packets that are going by its interfaces instead of just paying attention to the ones that are directed to it.
Right.
Now, the promiscuous mode driver is known as WinPCAP, and that is, we'll have to find the download link to that.
It's actually on wireshark.org, down the left side there, they have AirPCAP and WinPCAP.
Excellent. So they've got that there. And that will go ahead. It's very small, very lightweight, installs itself, very simply into your network stack, and then it's gone. You forget that it's there. And now all these utilities are available. So Wireshark's available once you have that. But the other two utilities that I've really found very helpful for quick network troubleshooting, are WinDump and NGREP. We'll go through both of these here. WinDump is actually a port over of the popular TCP dump utility for Unix.
Right.
And you can find this actually on the winpcap.org website. So if you go to the winpcap.org website to download WinPCAP, you can actually find the link on the left-hand side for WinDump as well and go and grab that utility there at the same time. It's worthwhile. It's a really, really small, lightweight command line sniffer with a very flexible set of options in terms of what you want it to display, ignore, and it fits in about, I think it was about 450K in size for an EXE. And it's standalone. That's all you need. It doesn't have to be installed on a system, so you carry this around on your USB drive.
Yeah, there's nothing in the registry. There's no .NET framework required.
Right.
None of that stuff.
Yeah, as a consultant, at one point in my life, I tried to have as minimal footprint as possible on my clients' systems. And, you didn't want to go and necessarily install a whole lot of heavyweight items on these target systems if you didn't have to. So what's nice about this is if the system has WinPCAP, you can use WinDump. And I said it's just a simple command line. And in a lot of cases, you may know the port or the traffic type that you're looking into. So maybe you want to look at all the port 80 traffic. It's a very simple command line option to just say, okay, WinDump on this interface, I want to see everything for port 80. Or maybe you know the source or the endpoint IP addresses of some communications going on, and you want to see everything that's happening between those two hosts. So you can say, okay, WinDump on this interface, show me these IP addresses. And everything else, it'll just filter out. And you can do some other options, like you can set the level of verbosity that it will give you in terms of how much information in the actual packet decode is displayed. And it's very, very useful for doing some very quick debugging, not necessarily getting Ethereal fully installed and then setting up a filter and a capture. This is real quick on the fly, and then you move on to the next part of the problem.
So you would actually use WinDump. I guess I'm trying to paint a more of a scenario here. I'm trying to understand exactly what the interaction between this web browser and this web server, or what I think is my web servers, looks like. My automatic reaction would go to Ethereal and just watch all the traffic coming and going from my machine. You saying I could use WinDump without Ethereal?
Yes, you could.
And capture all my port 80 traffic, see what was going on there.
Yeah.
Now, am I going to get more raw data if I do it that way, or what's the point if I have both tools?
Well, the point for me is just having something that's, just a simple EXE, and I don't have to install the Ethereal package on
right.
Number one. And in some cases, it's really just a quicker option for me. For instance, I do a lot of work with network monitoring systems and SNMP. We're always kind of debugging, you know, did the trap get to the right destination?
Right.
And since SNMP traps are a UDP-based protocol, kind of a message in the bottle type of transfer that system sends it once and then we never hear about it again. So if other systems didn't pick it up, if the HP OpenView console didn't pick it up, then we got to find out what's going on. So for me, it's real simple to just say, WinDump, name the interface, and then say port 162. And I'm there. You know, that's literally just a 5-second thing for me to do, and I'm already going. Instead of going into Ethereal and say, okay, now set up this new filter and do this and capture. You can get the same job done with both. It's just, you know, one might be a little bit faster if you've got a very specific problem you're trying to narrow in on. I think Ethereal is more of a general tool.
Yeah, I'd see Ethereal as something I'd use. I'm not sure what's going on here. I want to watch everything on this interface. Where it sounds to me like WinDump, you know what you want to look at, and it's only going to show you that.
Yeah.
All right, give me some raw data to diagnose.
Mm-hmm.
And once you've run WinDump, then any traffic on that port to that interface is going to show up on the screen.
Right. With whatever level of verbosity that you choose to ask from it. And it's got, run the help option in it, and it'll give you the complete list of all the command line options it supports. So I find it very handy for, okay, I know this packet should be going from here to here to here to here. What's wrong in this puzzle? Well, let me insert myself into this point, do a quick, WinDump capture. Did it make it across that port? Very, very easy, simple tool for that job.
You mentioned ngrep.
Yes.
Which is a pretty cool tool. Maybe you could dive into that one.
Yeah, that was the next portion of this, since we're on the whole series of tools that require WinPCAP. Ngrep is a similar command line network capture tool, but it takes a different approach to the whole capturing and displaying traffic for troubleshooting purposes. Instead of in WinDump, where you would maybe look for I want to know traffic coming into this port or to these in and out of these IP addresses. In ngrep, you simply give it a string. So grep, obviously, it comes from the Unix grep for finding information in files or wherever else. But with n in front of it, it's a reference that it's a network-based grep. So what I've found this kind of useful for is if I know that there's a certain portion of the payload. I know maybe a text string in the payload, but I'm not sure what the protocol is that might be carrying that. So I might say, okay, well, maybe I don't understand DNS, or I'm not sure of all the uses that Windows might use for a host name for my machine. So I can just say ngrep and then put in, the actual name for my machine on the network. And any time that's used in a packet, whether it would be a DNS packet or some other type of packet, as long as it's a clear text representation, it will actually show that packet on the screen and say, okay, here's where this is. Another case, maybe you don't know what protocol an instant messaging application uses. So you could actually launch ngrep and have it say ngrep off of this interface for this particular string and just make it some sort of code word or something like that. Go into your instant messaging client, type in that code word to someone else, and then you'd instantly see that packet and say, okay, well, then it's AOL protocol, so it's port 5190. So it's kind of a different way of slicing the whole, trying to find what's going on the network where, WinDump is good for, I know the port, I know the addresses. This is kind of good for, I'm not sure on those things, but I know some specific things that would be in the payload. So therefore, show me the protocols that you see going across that have this string in the payload.
Yeah, I see WinDump as show me everything from here, and ngrep as show me from anywhere something that looks like this.
It's also very good for kind of that needle in the haystack kind of stuff,
right?
Where I could use the other tools to capture every DNS query going across the network, but on a relatively busy organizational network, there's probably a lot of those every minute, and maybe I'm looking for one DNS query that seems to be failing. I'm trying to resolve one host, and for some reason it's not working. Okay, I want to narrow in on that query, and I could just say, ngrep, listen to the interface, www.runasradio.com, see all the packets that happen to have that string in the payload go out and see if there's a response that comes back.
Right.
I know this has been pretty useful for many people in doing, looking for malware activity or Trojan backdoor type stuff on large networks where you don't really know where it's coming from or where it's going or where the connections are taking place. But if you know what the payload is, a real quick and accurate and useful way to be able to sort out those bad guys.
No, it's true. That's a great, I hadn't thought of that, but that'd be a great use for that.
So we had wireshark.org and winpcap.org. And then finally, ngrep is on SourceForge. So it's ngrep.sourceforge.net.
Correct.
And that's the suite, I guess, of your toolkit of inspecting network traffic.
Yes.
And I could imagine, you know, my usual experience when I dealt with inspecting or dealing with network traffic is it's usually you have way too much data. You start looking on what's going on in your network, you find out it's a lot of stuff. The challenge is, and I guess this really distinction of these tools, is narrowing in on what is it you care about.
No, that's absolutely right, Richard. And with, two, three tools that can help you slice everything the right way makes that whole job and process a whole lot quicker to getting to the nature of the problem so then you can get onto the resolution.
Certainly in my experience with Ethereal, it's worth learning this tool because when you're good at it, it's really powerful.
It's definitely the Swiss Army knife of of network capturing.
Okay, let's keep moving along then. What's next?
Sure, another one, again, this kind of fits into the just kind of blows my socks off category is system information for Windows. Primarily by a gentleman, Gabriel Topala. His website is gtopala.com. And, you know, if you've ever, you know, gone into, manage my computer, system information to try and get some information, from your PC, within Windows, this utility literally just blows that out of the water. This will get you, every type of setting and configuration parameter you can think of in regards to your system.
Wow.
It actually does work as a standalone EXE. However, it does sort of insert a device-level driver into your system so that it can actually get to some of the data that it needs. So it's not completely zero footprint, but it doesn't have, the whole installer kind of process. The one time you launch SIW.exe, it will go ahead and it'll insert the driver that it needs. And then that's the extent of the footprint on the system. But, it'll go in, it'll find out, about all the services you have installed, applications. It'll go ahead and list out a whole bunch of applications for you. It will actually go and find the original Windows installation keys, the serial number keys or other keys that were installed at the time you put it in. So the actual serial number and the product key, that's the word I was looking for, the product key that you use to actually install your copy of Windows. If for some reason you've lost that, you lost the CD somewhere, but you need your product key, this can go in and get that for you. The other thing that actually both impressed and scared me was that it was actually able to go in and it can actually go in and find out things about your systems like passwords in certain applications that you may have pre-configured. Now, it's a bit of a trade-off. Is this a good thing or a bad thing?
Yeah, it's almost too much power.
Yeah, I don't really know. I'm impressed that they've got that in there. I remember the first time I tried this utility and it located the Trillian Instant Messenger client that I had and said, oh, and here's the password that you've gone ahead and configured to all your instant messaging applications. It's like, wow.
It's really amazing how many programs have those passwords saved in either a very easily crackable or just plain text in the registry or some file somewhere.
Yeah. So, I don't necessarily want to say, this is a great tool to go out and find people's passwords.
Yeah, if you're in the business of stealing people's laptops, this is the tool for you.
Yeah, it certainly does help. So I just brought it up here on my system, and in addition to the passwords for certain applications, it can also catch if you have any stored passwords in a browser like Firefox, it'll record all your wireless SSID keys. So that you can actually see at any wireless network that you've associated with, and what the SSID key that you put in was. And that one's actually useful for me. Sometimes I need to look up an SSID key that got encrypted or encoded into a laptop once, and you know, don't know what it is since then, and I don't know the person who gave that to me previously. So that's actually been useful before.
Well, it's a powerful audit. I mean, to so quickly see, you know, how much exposure would we have if this laptop went missing? What passwords are in here? What does it know? I just fired it up on my Vista 64-bit machine, and it had some issues. So the drivers aren't signed, so Vista the 64-bit sulks. But it does work. It's just some features aren't running.
Still works on 64-bit. There's some of the functionality that's not there. What? It's really actually, you know, talking about the passwords, it's really, I'm actually kind of disappointed at a couple of the programs that it's able to find the passwords for, you know, Windows Live Messenger 8.1, for example, which of course is my, not just the password for that, but that's my Live ID password.
Yeah,
so
right.
There's, that's pretty unfortunate, but it's good to know, I think, especially as an IT pro or a security pro. You know, where are those exposures?
Absolutely. And, you know, same thing here. It's pulled up two Firefox passwords. And, you know, I've been in IT for long enough and certainly, you know, take security pretty seriously. But apparently on two websites that I visited with Firefox at one point, I clicked yes to the you can save my username and password option there. And, you know, one of these is actually a password that I would not want disclosed. So yeah, it may be a good checkpoint for how secure even you're just being yourself. But you know, I think the earlier point is also good that in terms of your organization. You know, how prudent are your users being?
Hey, I'm relieved that as I'm thumbing through my list of passwords saved in the machine, they're all different. That's the only thing I could say good about me today.
Yeah,
that's all. My passwords are listed differently too. I also see some Firefox. A couple of saved passwords that, and a couple of IE saved passwords that don't make me really happy, but the installed software like Messenger that bothers me a little bit more.
Yeah. In addition to that, I mean, that's kind of one of the most fun parts of the app, but going and getting all the product keys and install keys for a lot of your applications, that's actually a useful feature. It's also got some tie-ins to sensors. If your motherboard has, you know, CPU temperature sensors that are instrumented, it'll try and get that information. Some of the smart disk, you know, health and sensor items, if it's compatible, it will go ahead and try and pull that information in as well. So it really, like I said, there's, if you need to know anything and everything about a system, there's no other utility that you need than this one.
Yeah, this sure seems like a one-stop shop for everything you want to know about a computer.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And absolutely free.
Yeah, you can't argue with that price. Wow, it's listing all the ports currently open on this machine.
Mm-hmm.
That's a
terrific tool. Good one for the
stunner.
Toolbox.
What a great tool! How did I not know about this tool?
Yeah. Getting into the last couple here, one that I've been using for a very, very long time, TrueCrypt, available over at TrueCrypt.org. This is another SourceForge project. This is a free open source encryption software. And what I used to use this for in my consulting days was I had a lot of clients that I would go to visit. I'd have my laptop, you know, sitting out on my desk. And, you know, I would always be very concerned about, you know, keeping client A's data, you know, private and confidential from client B's if I was at a client location. And then, of course, obviously, I'd be concerned if my laptop was ever stolen, all my clients' data falling into, you know, who knows hands. You know, one real way to kill a consulting business pretty quickly. So
yeah,
I started using TrueCrypt, and what's nice about it is that it is just a simple like a drive mount. So you go ahead and you create a TrueCrypt volume. You assign your super secret password key, and they recommend making something, you know, pretty long, more like a phrase than just an individual password.
Right.
And then you just mount it as a drive, and it appears in Windows Explorer as just another drive letter. You copy files to it, you copy files back, and then eventually you just dismount it. And it's just, it actually stores as a file on the file system. But when you mount it, it, you know, shows up as a drive letter. And this, I really like this approach much better than the Windows encryption, the file encryption that it has. And the anecdote that I always give on this, when I started using this and started looking into this, There was actually a Microsoft best practices white paper or sort of TechNet note or something like that in regards to the encrypting file system when that first started coming out years ago on Windows. And there was actually a recommendation in there, oh, well, encrypt your My Documents folder. Just, you know, go to that folder, you know, click encrypt, and now all of your documents are encrypted in case you ever, you know, lose your laptop. Great concept, but in practice, doesn't really work out so well because, you know, what eventually happens, you know, maybe you're really good at backups and you back up your workstation all the time. And I'm thinking this is more for, you know, kind of individual users than the corporate settings because there's some differences that would mitigate this problem. But for, you know, kind of individual home users, if you eventually have to restore your PC from scratch because your drive started to degrade or fail on you, if you didn't remember that you'd, you know, encrypted that My Documents folder 3 years prior and actually saved that recovery key onto a floppy or something else, you're done.
You're hooped. It's gone.
You're pretty much screwed.
Yeah. And I read a few stories of this in Usenet groups, and I just shook my head. I said, yeah, that's a terrible suggestion, encrypting your My Documents folder, because you'll forget. At least make a My Encrypted Files folder or something.
Right.
But honestly, I like the TrueCrypt approach. I mean, it supports, you know, all the best encryption methods you would want to have available. It supports a concept known as a hidden partition. So inside the TrueCrypt partition that you mount, you can actually have another secret partition inside of there. So that if for some reason you're ever forced to give up your encrypted volume password under arrest, I mean, it happens to me all the time. It's such an inconvenience. But you can put in some semi-confidential documents in there, but then the truly confidential documents you could actually have in this hidden volume, and there's no way to know the hidden volume is there unless you know that it's there. So it's a really, really great utility, and, you know, I would go ahead and I would make one TrueCrypt volume for each of my clients, you know, and then I would, as soon as I would get onto the client site, I would just mount that particular volume, and now I've got their drive letter, and I can copy stuff, you know, up to their network, back down that I need. And then when I leave at the end of the day, I shut everything down, TrueCrypt dismounts, and everything's protected and secure.
That's TrueCrypt.org. And we did a show previously just on TrueCrypt. So if you're really into TrueCrypt, check out show number 9 with Eric Marvitz.
Oh, that's
great. We spent a whole half hour on TrueCrypt. I'm glad you brought it up again because I'm really impressed with the product. But and you've definitely got another insight into it. But there's lots to talk about when it comes to good encryption of your data.
Absolutely.
One more, sir.
One more. This is one that has saved my bacon so many times, I can't even begin to count it. SyncBack, made free for a freeware version from the company 2 Bright Sparks. It's actually the number 2, brightsparks.com.
Okay.
And this, years and years ago, I got to the point where actually keeping, you know, a tape backup of some sort in my home office was becoming impractical. You know, once you start getting into, you know, the multi-gigabyte ranges of data, I don't want to have to, you know, buy a DLT drive, you know, for my home and have to buy, you know, those tapes and keep rotating them. So, you know, disks kept coming down in price, getting cheaper and cheaper to the point where it didn't make sense to actually be backing stuff up onto magnetic media, especially when I had 2 or 3 PCs that were on 24 hours a day, could just simply copy information back and forth to each other.
Right.
So I spent a long time looking for good file synchronization and backup utilities. And I'd used a few, and what I finally settled on and have been using now for years with the free version they've made available is SyncBack. And this is, it's just great. It's got the integration and the usability that I, as sort of an IT professional or IT pro, really want a utility like this to have. And the fact that it's free is even better. So you can set up all your profiles. You can say, you know, I want to go from directory A to directory B. And do you want this to be a backup so that if there's anything in the target that wasn't in the source, it'll delete it out? Or you can reverse that and say, well, anything that's in the target but wasn't in the source, it gets deleted out of the source. Or you can have it try and do a full synchronization and say, copy anything that's either in the target or the source over to the other, and it'll keep everything in sync. You can set those up as individual profiles. You can then group multiple profiles together. You can set up schedules, and the schedules actually become jobs within Windows Task Manager or Windows Scheduled Tasks. And the nice thing about it is that the Two Bright Sparks team, instead of just saying, well, you know, go ahead and just put this into your scheduled tasks. No, they wrote an interface to go ahead and put that in there for you. Make sure you do those little things that everybody forgets, like assigning your a username and password, so that the actual service can run in the background without you being there, without you logged in. They make sure that you've done all those little things so that it really executes well. You can have it email you the log files if for some reason a portion of the backup does not perform correctly, if something fails in it. The log files are very nice, easy to read HTML files. You can have it stop a process on your system before it begins the backup. So, for instance, I have it back up my Outlook data once a week. So I have it set up so that it will look and see if Outlook.exe is running. And if it is, it will actually try and stop Outlook first before it begins the full backup, so that the PSTs are dismounted and you can actually get the full copy of those. You can have it zip all the files to its destination, so it'll do an actual zip process to compress something down. And it will even support, in the freeware version, and this is phenomenal, it'll even support going to FTP-based destinations.
That is awesome.
So it's a free way. If you had, you know, just a real small subset of core files that you always really wanted to make sure that you had in an offsite backup, you can get a simple hosting account. You know, you don't even need web hosting. You just need basic hosting with, you know,
with FTP service.
With FTP service. And just copy stuff up there. Right. So
I'm thinking of my mom. I'm thinking that I need her machine backed up, and so I'll run my FTP server here, run this on her end, and I have a copy of everything she's got here. So when she pours a cup of coffee in her computer again, then I have a copy of everything.
It's actually not a bad idea. My father recently had his machine get hit by some sort of big spyware thing, and you know, he's trying to copy all of his data off, and then, you know, he's just going to reformat the machine and start over again. A few years prior, though, he actually had a failed drive. I went up there and he said, "I don't know, the computer's making a funny noise." And as soon as he turned it on, we heard that horrible, you know, thunk 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 sound. That
yeah,
just well, you know,
dead bearings.
IT pro's skin crawl. And, but yeah, no, that's a great idea for that.
You know, we've been talking about this for a while on the show. That tape backup to me seems dead. And remote backup is what we, and the whole idea of rotating tapes and dealing, the actual recovery process out of tape is a nightmare because you've got to match drive versions and so on. So I think, I don't want to underplay the potential of this tool and that this is just for home use. I could see you using this between data centers. There's no reason it wouldn't work. It's got all the features you're looking for.
Oh, absolutely. And
in fact, I've used this tool, you know, professionally. And the other nice thing, SyncBack, they call it SE, their full featured edition is, you know, I mean, it has the capabilities of a tool that you would think would cost a lot of money. It's $30. It's truly worth it.
Oh, right. So there is a buy version of this. There's a free version and then there's a buy version that's a whole $30.
Yeah. And if you're backing up, you know, a good portion of your corporate data center to some other center, you might want to pay the two Bright Sparks guys, you know, a few bucks for their application. But this is what I actually like is that they've made a really fully functional freeware application. They didn't really try and rip out, you know, 85% of the features and give you a few basics. They give you a lot here for free. So I love to try and send people their way. By all means, if you're going to use this for corporate purposes, yeah, buy the licensed copy and do what you can with it. But I've ended up doing, you know, I have an external USB drive that's kind of my main attached storage. And I just have SyncBack, you know, grab a bunch of directories you know, daily, weekly, and monthly backups there. And on my master PC here at home, I also have it automatically try and go and connect to any and all of my laptops several times throughout the day. You can just specify, you know, UNC path network shares for sources or destinations. So I just mention each of my names as a source path, and I say, you know what, try every 3 hours and see if you can get a recent backup on it. So I don't have to pay attention to trying to back up all my laptops now, just by the factor of me turning them on here at home and having them available on the network, they just get backed up automatically.
That's cool. Wow. So that's twobrightsparks.com. The product's called SyncBack.
At the number two.
Yes. So we're a little over time, but I'm having entirely too much fun. And you mentioned one more thing, which was not officially on the list, but you're doing a data recovery process right now?
Yes, unfortunately, I am.
What happened?
I was just involved in one as well.
Yeah, that same USB hard drive that I just mentioned that I do my backups with ThinkBack. It started making that dreaded thunk 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 sound,
the dead bearing noise.
Yeah, and of course, right before I left for a business trip for a few days. So
of course,
I'm now back and trying to work my way through that. But the utility is test disk, and I'm struggling to find the URL right now. I'll get it to you so we can get it to the show notes after the fact, unless one of you already have it. But
is that CG Security's test disk?
Yeah, that's the one.
So that's cgsecurity.org.
Yep. And this follows what I believe is, you know, a great thing where you've seen the market take something that was very expensive and, you know, making an open source version. So as I mentioned before, used to 15 years ago, I had to, you know, pay $20,000 for a Network General Sniffer.
Right.
Now I can use Ethereal for free. Data recovery services are not cheap.
No.
If something goes wrong, this is open source. It supports every type of file system and partition that you can think of. It's not really so much meant for the physical problems that I'm dealing with right now, but I'm trying to see if I get lucky.
Right.
But if you have other problems with a deleted partition or corrupted, NTFS master boot record or something like that, this utility gets in there. And I wish I could say from firsthand experience, yeah, I've gone in and fixed it. I just found this utility the other day, so I'm really curious to start playing with it now. But it looks really, really solid. So.
Well, then it looks like the Ethereal for disks, doesn't it? I mean, it's
really
set
does.
Up very much in the same model.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the only thing that's missing here is to have the drive vendors, or more importantly, the RAID controller vendors. Can you imagine if a company like Adaptec jumped on here and put in the file system support for all of their different RAID configurations?
Yeah, that would be pretty huge.
It'd be huge. So the website is cgsecurity.org. The product is Test Disk. And we've been talking to Doug Toombs about this great set of tools, stuff we should all have on our USB key when we're going in fixing different sites.
Thanks for sharing your toolkit there, Doug.
Not a problem. I was glad to get on the show here.
Well, thanks very much, Doug. It's good to talk to you. And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.